Hi guys, and welcome back again to Lily White Rose, the Stars of Tomorrow Today. John Wenham here. Hope you're all doing well. Thanks for tuning in again and downloading yet another episode. This pod can be downloaded on iTunes, Spotify, and across all major podcast providers. We're also on Twitter at Lily White Rose, Instagram at Lily White Rose, and Facebook at Lily White Rose N17. Let's start this week's show with Tuesday's superb win at Stevenage for our under-23s. We made a winning return to the Papa John's Trophy with a fantastic 4-3 victory. Playing as the away side on a ground we know so well, as our under-23s used this for the majority of their home fixtures, two goals in either half accounted for the League 2 side, as we put our first 3 points on the board in Southern Group H. Harvey White gave us the perfect start inside 8 minutes. Thiago Santiago Alonso soon added a second, as we played some wonderful football in the first half an hour, despite missing a number of players through international duty and injuries. Stevenage, who themselves made 6 changes from their league defeat to our former academy coach Matt Taylor's Walsall at the weekend, replied through James Daly shortly before the break. But a second strike from White, following excellent footwork by Dylan Markandy, restored our 2-goal lead. Back came the hosts again through Ross Marshall powering home unmarked from a corner, but captain Brooklyn Lions Foster gradually slid in a 4th goal after White's free kick was blocked and Toby Amole was denied by goalkeeper Sasha Bastien on the follow-up, putting us in the driving seat at 4-2 with just over a quarter of an hour left. Substitute Luther James Walden hammered home an 88th minute 3rd for the hosts, but we managed to hold on in the closing stages to claim a well-deserved victory. Talking after the fixture, Wayne Burnett said, "This competition, as I've said before, gives the players different tests, different challenges, playing against senior players, playing against players with experience, different types of teams, so the exposure that our players get from these games is invaluable and it's part of their growth and development. I'm really pleased with tonight's game. I thought it was a really good team performance, and within that there were some excellent individual performances. We've come to a team that started well in League 2 and I thought we thoroughly deserved the win. We probably had 6 players who were away on international duty who would have been involved in some capacity this evening, but it gives other players opportunities and some of those players have taken those opportunities and put in some very, very good performances. So I'm really pleased with the game, pleased that it was a different type of game and a different type of exposure for the players. I think we handled it really well." We lined up for this fixture at Stevenage with Josh Oluwayemi in goal, Malachi Fagan-Walcott at centre-half along with Marcus Murr, Toby Amole, Marcel Lavinia and Callum Cisse were also part of a defensive unit, with Harvey White partnered in the middle by Brooklyn's Lions Foster, who captained us on the occasion, Dylan Markandy and Jack Clark, and then it was Thiago Santiago who played in a sort of false nine position, leading from the front with no recognised forward on the night. And I mean, the no recognised forward thing is interesting because obviously Troy Parrott is out on loan, Keon Etete is also on loan, where Jamie Donnelly and Dane Scarlett are all away on international duty. So again, that Jeremy Mukunde question pops up. I mean, why have we got this guy at the club if even when all 4 other forwards are unavailable and he is the only forward left that could be selected, is he still not making the bench? You know, questions have to be asked about that. I've raised this on a previous pod, but I just find his continued involvement really with the club rather strange when he's never selected to play any sort of competitive game. And as I said, back to the game, it was a really impressive performance on the night. Huge credit to Markandy. I thought Santiago was also outstanding. His pressing from the front was really, really impressive. And obviously Brooke Lyons Foster, who throughout this season thus far has been playing as a defensive midfielder. He's naturally a centre-back, but with Murr and Amole preferred at the back, Brooke has slotted into this new role really nicely, and his reading of the game and his passing skills is really being utilised playing in this defensive midfield role. Romain Mundale was actually in the initial starting 11, but did pick up an injury in the warm-up, so that's why Marcel Lavinia came into the side, and Callum Cisse then played in a more advanced right-sided role. I've posted a link to the highlights of this game on our Twitter channel, at Lily White Rose, so please do check those out. There's some unbelievable goals. I mean, Santiago's goal was brilliant, a couple from White, and just the determination from Lyons Foster to get in there and get that vital 4th. And some of the Stevenage goals are brilliant as well. So do give those highlights a watch. I really recommend it. Our under-23s also suffered a disappointing North London derby defeat to Arsenal at Hotspur Way. The second half dismissal of Marcel Lavinia cost us and our under-23s as we let a 1-goal advantage slip through our fingers to lose the fixture 2-1 to Arsenal. And it was actually the first time in 4 that Arsenal under-23s had been successful in a game against us. So that was really disappointing. We led the game through Alfie Devine's strike 5 minutes into the second half, but we were then unfortunately pegged back by Kiddo Taylor Hart shortly before the hour mark, with fullback Lavinia dismissed 60 seconds later for a second bookable offence. Arsenal took full advantage and Taylor Hart doubled his tally with 19 minutes left. Although our 10 men rallied in the closing stages and Jeneil Bennett fashioned a couple of shots as we chased an equaliser. Ultimately though, the Gunners had done enough to consign us to our first Premier League 2 defeat of the season. Neither side meaningfully tested the opposition keeper in the first half, and a sustained spell of pressure in the 21st minute mark arguably the closest either team went, as Niall John and Harvey White both saw shots charged down before Lavinia's angled effort was comfortably gathered by Carl Hine in the Arsenal goal. White's subsequent free kick was blocked, but Brooklyn Lions Foster couldn't quite take advantage of the loose ball in the box, while Dilimar Candy's cross from the right was just far too in front of the oncoming Dane Scarlett. We had to be strong defensively, with Arsenal always a threat on the break, and we needed a super block from Callum Cisse to prevent Kiddo Taylor Hart giving them the lead on the stroke of half time. Instead, it was us who forged ahead 5 minutes after the break, Alfie Devine converting from Harvey White's corner at the near post with a neat finish. Arsenal reacted strongly after, and Mazid Ogbonbo was denied by Josh Oluwayemi. Taylor Hart swept home from the dangerous Omari Hutchinson's cutback to restore parity for Arsenal on 58 minutes. Oluwayemi subsequently faulted the impressive Charlie Patino, while Scarlett had a good chance to fire us back in front but blasted into the side netting following a good reverse pass by Jack Clark. Ogbonbo stood over the bar for Arsenal from close range, but with 19 minutes remaining, Arsenal pulled ahead as another Omari Hutchinson cutback was missed by Mika Birif, only to come to Kiddo Taylor Hart, who didn't need a second invitation to smash home in a similar fashion to his first goal. Omari Hutchinson then hit the woodwork for free kick a few moments later, but our depleted side didn't give up and did still push hard for a draw in the final moments, with Jeneil Bennett trying a couple of shots at goal, albeit without success, as the Gunners escaped with the points. Under-23 coach Wayne Burnett, reflecting on this game, said, "It was quite an even game in the first half. We started the second half very positively, scored a goal, and thought we were doing okay, but they managed to get a goal back, and the turning point was certainly the sending off of Lavinia." Saying that, even with 10 men, we had chances, two or three, which on another day we might have capitalised on. I can't fault the players' work ethic or commitment, because obviously it's so disappointing to lose. I feel we were punished effectively with that red card. And towards the end of the game, we were really pushing. We were on the front foot. We had a couple of half chances to equalise, but it just didn't happen, and we fell short with the 10 men. For this fixture against Arsenal, we lined up with Josh Oluwayemi in goal, Marcel Lavinia, Callum Cisse, Niall John, Brooklyn Lions Foster with the armband, Toby Amole, Dylan Markandy, Harvey White, Dane Scarlett, Alfie Devine and Jack Clark. Arsenal in their starting 11 did include first team Brazilian defender Gabriel, but he was withdrawn at half time, and it was notable that pretty much immediately after he was withdrawn, we went ahead in the game via the corner that Alfie Devine tucked in. Now guys, there is a player this week we absolutely must talk about. Everyone is asking me about this guy. Everyone's seen the highlights of the games against Stevenage, against Leeds, and there's just so much hype around him at the moment, and that is Dylan Markandy. The 20-year-old has absolutely exploded this season, and it is noticeable the number of Spurs youth players who now, under anything he posts online, put Messi underneath the post. But for me, it's actually another Argentinian he now reminds me of, and that is Sergio Aguero. He has that sort of low centre of gravity and silky footwork, but what's most telling about Dylan this summer is just how much body size he's put on over the summer break, and it now gives him this powerful demeanour playing as a false nine or very advanced from the right-hand side, and he's just been delivering game after game after game to really devastating effect. He scored 5 times in pre-season, netted twice away to Leeds in a fabulous 4-2 victory, tormented Stevenage's first team on Monday night, grabbing 2 assists in the process, and scored in the season opener for the 23s against Chelsea. I mean, he's just on fire at the minute, Dylan, and he's been rewarded for the fine start to the season with a place on the first team bench, as we exclusively revealed on at Lee White Rose for the fixture against Pacos, and has now been training with the first team squad on a more consistent basis. During this up-and-coming international break, with so many first-team players away being called up for their nations, I see this as a real key time for Dylan to really transform basically the form he's shown in the under-23s to impress Nuno and his coaching staff. You know, this will be a chance where there isn't many players around and he can really go out there and impress in effect. And, you know, I was pleased when I saw the training photos from... I noticed that he was in there in the first team. So, you know, hopefully he's doing everything he can to really impress Nuno and just translate that form, because for me, he is the one who is our next breakthrough star this season. He could be that goal-scoring right-sided forward we've been crying out for. I think Dill's potential involvement with the first team would also be great for British Asian players and British Asian people generally. You know, to see somebody as a real sign of inspiration making that breakthrough into a top-level Premier League team, having come out of a top-level category, category one academy. So, you know, fingers crossed Dylan can do that, because he's been phenomenal so far this season, and I just feel like he needs his chance to really break through now, and we'll, you know, can see a really exciting player. Our under-18s have had a really disappointing start to the season with now three straight defeats. I wouldn't read too much into this though, as I've never known us to be using so many Academy Year 1 players in the starting 11s, which shows to me how highly the group is actually thought of. The experience for these defeats will undoubtedly serve them better further down the line. We fell to a heavy defeat against Chelsea at Hotspur Way. We were trailing 3-1 shortly after half-time following two harsh penalty decisions and Ronnie Stutter's opener against the run of play. We then left within, you know, really tough task as Jimmy Tyoran's goal was swiftly followed by a straight red card for our goal scorer Jamie Donnelly following a challenge on the same player. We were forced to complete the last half an hour with 10 men. We did manage to pull one back with a fine solo effort from Rashaan Mathurin against his former club, but three goals in the closing stages, including an unstoppable strike from Chelsea substitute Derek Abou, made it for an unflattering 7-2 final scoreline. We started brightly with a couple of half chances for Callon Haysman, but Stutter wriggled in behind our defence and fired across goalkeeper Adam Hayton to give the Chelsea a 19th minute lead. Hayton saved well later on from a free kick, but Lewis Hall's effort followed a half clearance corner, but we were hit with a sucker punch on 28 minutes when what appeared to be a well contested tackle from centre back Alfie Dorrington on Edward Anderson was given as a penalty, Hall finding the top corner from 12 yards to double the visitor's advantage. Donnelly made it 2-1 with a spot kick at the other end, his second in as many games, after being tripped by Chelsea defender Billy Gee, and we then went close to an equaliser with a low left-footed drive that had to be tipped over the post. But it all went wrong in the second half. Max McKnight was adjudged to have impeded Richard Olise for another controversial penalty, which Hall once again converted 5 minutes after the restart, before Tyoran ran onto Stutter's cutback and fired home past Hayton 5 minutes later. Frustrations got close to boiling point with an hour gone when Donnelly received a straight red card for his challenge on Tyoran, but we still had to push for route back into the game. The hard-working Jaden Williams hit the post with a good shot midway through the second half before Mathurin took matters into his own hands just 60 seconds after coming on, embarking on a solo run and firing into the bottom corner to make it 4-2 with just 14 minutes remaining. Unfortunately though, it was Chelsea who pushed on to win comfortably in the closing stages, substitute Malik Mothersley going through to round Adam Hayton's slot on 78 minutes before beating the goalkeeper again from a tight angle, only for substitute defender Brandon Brian Wade to slide back and clear off the line. Abou picked out the top corner of a stunning strike from distance on 85 minutes before Anderson latched high into the near post 2 minutes from time to complete the scoring, leave our under-18s still searching for their first under-18s Premier League win of the season. I was at this game at Hotspur Way, and just a point I want to make was when Jamie Donnelly did get sent off, I thought it was a little bit harsh. You know, yes, he slid in on a guy from behind, but you know, a stern telling off, a yellow in that sort of London derby would have been fine in my book. But what I found really interesting was Steve Hitchin was watching the game next to the coaches and staff. He went absolutely bonkers when Jamie was sent off and seemed as animated as you see him now with Fabio Paratici. When you know his videos circulate on Twitter after the first team game, Steve Hitchin was exactly the same. He was really kicking off. He wasn't happy. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting that he's actually watching those games now. You know, he's coming down, watching the under-18s, getting an idea of what players we already have, and that may have made some decisions ahead of the summer transfer window closing. I don't know, but it was just interesting to see him down at Hotspur Way, visibly watching the games. It wasn't something I'd seen before. Under-18s coach Stuart Lewis said, "Obviously, the result is tough to take. It hurts the players, myself and the staff to lose in such a matter. But this is an example of a day in football that reveals character and reveals a lot about individuals. Some elements of the game were tough to take, but that can happen. From the players' point of view, they've got to take some of the moments in the game and the experience from today and ultimately learn from them. It's one of those experiences that can really shape your habits going forward. It takes real strength of character to bounce back from games like this. And in training this week and in the coming weeks, we'll be looking for those players who are really pushing hard and learning. Because it's ultimately about individuals learning from this and seeing how they react, but also us as staff lifting the boys, trying to push them and helping them to develop. We've got to really work hard with the group now to push on over the next couple of weeks." Our under-18s then suffered, you know, another defeat, which was really disappointing on the back of that heavy defeat at Chelsea, as a late win I saw our under-18s edged out 3-2 by Birmingham City in the under-18s Premier League on Saturday afternoon. The hosts took an early lead at the West Hills training ground with Rico Patterson bending in a free kick after just 6 minutes, but we rallied back in the first half and went into the break deservedly ahead. Riley Owen finished off a fine team move for 1-1 on 16 minutes, his first goal at this level, having become a scholar this year, before the winger then put us in front on 39 minutes after great work in the middle by Rio Kyramaten. In the second half, however, the hosts dominated and managed to level on 70 minutes through Kieran Wakefield. Then as we looked to be picking up our first point of the campaign, George Hall popped up in the box in the 89th minute to head home the winner for the Blues. On what was a sunny day in the West Midlands, Birmingham took the lead with just 6 minutes on the clock. After winning a free kick 20 yards out, Patterson whipped the ball low and hard round the wall and that beat goalkeeper Timothy Lotolata to his left. With the lead in tow, the hosts sat back and allowed us to have sustained spells of possession, and that was something we capitalised on just 10 minutes later. Great interplay down the right flank saw Max McKnight break into the box. He then picked out Owen in space on the left, who cut inside before finessing the ball into the far right-hand corner of the net. Anyone knows FIFA will know it was like a cheeky R1 button, and he pinged it into that top right-hand corner. Despite the level low, our opponent should have retaken the lead just a minute later, but fullback Harry Manton was wasteful, dragging wide from the angle. 23 minutes, both teams had good opportunities to get themselves in front, but again the chances could not be taken. First, Jaden Williams fashioned an opportunity for us when he was teed up by Owen, but the forward sliced his shot wide. The host then broke quickly, with Hall ultimately drawing a smart save out of Timothy Lotolata. We had another good opening on 37 minutes as Williams and Kyramaten combined to win the ball on the edge of the box, before playing in Owen. His effort, however, was tame and easily collected by goalkeeper Alfie Brooks. The winger made no mistake, though, when he was presented a second opportunity 2 minutes later on, after Kyramaten slalomed through the line of defenders and picked him out. Owen slotted the ball in from 8 yards out. After the restart, the Blues took control and pressed for an equaliser. We had to weather a long storm at the start of the second half, but with Tolata collecting every searching cross that came into the box, we looked comfortable. However, our resistance was broken on 70 minutes as Wakefield nipped in between the lines at the Birmingham level. That got the Blues' tails up as they went in search for a winner. Over the next 5 minutes, the hosts had 3 half chances to take the lead, but Hall twice fired off target from good positions before Jordan James drilled straight at Lotolata from distance. With 2 minutes left to play, we nearly had the winner, as Brandon Brian Way's speculative effort from distance was tipped over by keeper Brooks. Yet it was the Blues that went on to take the spoils, as Hall nodded home a free header with just a minute remaining. Despite ultimately being left disappointed with the defeat, under-18s coach Stuart Lewitt was pleased with elements of the side's performance, particularly the reaction they showed to going behind so early on. He said, "We showed real character and resilience to get back into it, and we were really on top, at the end of the first half scoring 2 excellent goals. It was pleasing. It's something we've worked on this week after the tough game last weekend, the 7-2 defeat to Chelsea, and something we can definitely build on. Our concentration has to be better in the final minutes, though. We spoke a lot this week about the fundamentals of football, tracking your runners, defending, and so it was disappointing to concede right at the end." After the international break, we take on Reading at Hotspur Way, and this is a fixture we simply just must win. We've lost 3 so far this season. This group of players is too talented to keep losing games. I hope that after the international break, of which we've lost so many players, we can come back, our players can be full of confidence after the international break, and get that first win against Reading on the board. I was disappointed to hear that Rashaan Mathurin has torn his ACL this week and is likely to be out between 9 to 12 months on the road to recovery. Just last season, Rosh scored a hat-trick away to Chelsea under-18s and was training with the first team squad at Hotspur Way. So this just shows you how quickly your luck in football can change. I remember it was just the season before last that Dane Scarlett had a really bad injury that kept him out for almost a year. So it does unfortunately happen, injuries. It is part of football. And all we can do here at Lily White Roses is wish Rashaan well and hope to see him back on a football pitch soon doing what he does best. Now to move on to the loan updates and loan reviews. Cameron Carter-Vickers has joined Celtic on a season-long loan with an option to buy. I expect CCTV will quickly cement himself as one of their starting centre-backs and they will take up the option to land him on a permanent basis, maybe in my view as early as January. I look around the SPL and I think of people at Rangers like Connor Goldson, and I think, is Carter-Vickers that much worse than Goldson? I don't think he is, in my opinion. Carter-Vickers has had some very successful loan spells out of the likes of Luton Town, Bournemouth, Stoke City, Swansea, who all really liked Cam. So I think he just needs a permanent place to settle. Hopefully this level of Scottish football will suit him and he can do very well there. And hopefully they do take up that permanent option to sign him, moving forward. Papa Matasar joined the club from FC Metz for £15 million and immediately rejoined the League One club on a season-long loan. He made his 4th consecutive Ligue 1 start of the season on Sunday. The central midfielder, or defensive midfielder, showed his versatility by switching to a left wing role on the edge of a front three as Metz drew 2-2 at Clermont Foot. Saar had 51 touches on the ball on the day, more than any other Mets player beyond the defence, but a pass accuracy of 74.4%, which was lower than all but one of the non-defenders who started the game. Saar has now joined up with the Senegal squad for their World Cup qualifiers. Troy Parrott has bagged 2 goals in his first 3 games for MK Dons and now has an assist to his name too. The Republic of Ireland international has already made more of an impact than he did at Millwall and Ipswich Town last season in that respect. Troy is now headed off with the senior Republic of Ireland squad during this international break. Keona Tete got another 79 minutes of League 2 football under his belt as Northampton Town drew 0-0 at Crawley Town. The big striker was denied by the Crawley goalkeeper with a couple of goal-scoring opportunities. Jamie Bowden was back in the matchday squad for Oldham, but was an unused substitute for what was his first return to the squad since having to self-isolate as a COVID protocol. Alfie Whiteman made his senior debut after joining Swedish side Degerfors IF on a season-long loan deal. The 22-year-old goalkeeper made his bow in the 2-0 defeat at home to Majorby and will be hoping to build upon this with more appearances in the coming weeks. Janiel Bennett has joined League One side Crewe Alexandra on loan deal until January. I see this as an excellent first loan for Janiel, who is so ready for this move after making his first team debut away to Pacos in the Europa Conference League this season. And I'll be watching his progress closely because Janiel is a player that, you know, at 15, 16, I remember going to some games at Hotspur Way and just saying to people down there, you know, this guy looks really, really special. His form has kind of stagnated over the last 1 or 2 years, but, you know, I'm hopeful that this pre-season he scored quite a few goals and obviously made his first team debut under Nuno. I'm hopeful that he sort of turned the corner again and can have a really productive spell at Crewe, and we can see him come back in January, maybe moving to the Championship on loan if all goes well. Moving on to the international youth call-ups we've had during this break. Obviously, I mentioned Troy Parrott has been called into the senior Republic of Ireland squad. Maxim Paskotski has again been called into the senior Estonia squad. Development squad goalkeeper Timothy Lotolata received a maiden call-up to the France under-19 squad. This was great news for Lotolata because he'd been called up a couple of times previously, and then for whatever reason, with COVID and red lists and that sort of stuff, he wasn't able to travel. So he will now get his first opportunity to link up with France at the under-19s level, whilst fellow development squad goalkeeper Isaac Solberg joined up with Norway under-19s. William Andy Japan joined up with Wales under-17s, whilst Ryan Sessegnon and Oliver Skip were called up into the England under-21 squad. Alfie Devine, Niall John and Dane Scarlett joined the England under-19s, who played yesterday and picked up a great 2-0 win at St George's Park over Italy, with Dane scoring one of the goals. I mean, it's really impressive actually when you look at Dane at 17, Alfie at 17, Niall at 18, straight in the England under-19 squad. Alfie was only 17 last month, August as well. So that's really impressive. Jordan Hackett, the academy left-back, was called into the England under-18 squad and they played today and he featured it. Gathered a clean sheet for them, so that was great to see as well. There was also under-17s call-ups for Alfie Dorrington, Rio Kairamentun and Tommy Bloxham. Jamie Donnelly this time round accepted an international call-up from Northern Ireland under-19s as a 16-year-old and came on as a 70th minute substitute and then won and converted a 94th minute penalty winner for the Northern Irish. They were playing a back-to-back set of games against the Faroe Islands. Today Jamie actually started the game against the Faroe Islands, again scored, again secured a 1-0 win. And I mean, it's just insane. I mean, Jamie Donnelly is hugely talented. I don't know where his international future is going to end up. I know that Northern Ireland are super keen on him. He's born in Northern Ireland, but he's grown up in England. England have always shown a big interest in Jamie as well. For England, he's made under-16, under-15 and under-17 call-ups, and he's now in the Northern Irish under-19 squad. So Jamie Donnelly is one I've spoken about before. He's certainly one to keep an eye on. I think he's hugely, hugely talented. So let's just see where he goes with Jamie this season. Now to move on to some of your listener questions this week, of which I've never had so many. So thank you so much for sending all these through. At Pucker Plummer had a question on youth international call-ups and adding Saar to the weekly loan review. I think we've had that one covered, but thanks again, Pucker Plummer, and for your continued support of the show. At DDL1882 asks, where do I see Alfie Devine this time next year? Personally, I think Alfie's next season, he'll probably be ready to head out on a full season's loan. He will be almost 18 then, or he will be in the August of that year. And I actually think he's probably good enough already and has the right frame to immediately go to the Championship on a loan deal. I think he's way too good and also physically developed. He can just skip loans at the lower levels 1 and 2 because he's ready to straight away hit the ball rolling in the Championship. So I would like to see him head out on loan to a Championship side, maybe a London-based side, you know, a QPR, maybe Millwall or Charlton in League One, but just certainly a London-based side to make that, you know, an easier transition in effect. But I think he's certainly ready for a Championship loan next season. At Napef1 asks, do we actually have any youth prospects, or is it just an academy full of Nathan Aduas? that's a name I've not heard in a while, Nathan. You know, in my opinion, we have 8 to 10 players currently with a genuine chance of breaking into the first team squad at Spurs and becoming mainstays. There'll also be one or two who may not get all the praise now, but will end up breaking through despite not being in the limelight currently. When I say that, I'm thinking of maybe the Craig brothers, somebody like that. You know, I think Spurs have got this thing about silver medalists with the academy players. I've seen the Athletic reference that before in interviews they've done with some of the Spurs coaching staff. And they say that Harry Kane, for example, was a silver medalist. He was never number one in everything he was doing in the academy, but he had good determination, he worked hard, and then eventually players develop at different stages. Dennis Sirkin was another one they described as a silver medalist, and obviously he's now moved on a permanent basis to Sunderland. Friend of the show at The Rhino Speaks asks, do we have any more Magomas in the system? Well, we've had Jark, we've had Christian, and we've had Paris, plus their father, Edo or Desmond, ferrying them to and from Hotspur Way over the years. But I do not believe we have a fourth Magoma currently on the books at Tottenham. We do have a Jaden Meghoma, spelt slightly differently, but I understand he's not a relative. So I hope that answers your question, Mr. Rhino. Jagbassi10 at Spurs Youth Hub, at Anthony Silver 23, at Cock and Ball Pod, at Stu_THFC, and at THFC Barnaby, all ask questions about Dylan Markandy, along the lines of why hasn't he played with the first team yet? What more has to be done for him to cement himself in first team training? As I said earlier on in this pod, this 2 week period, whilst many players are away on international duty, will absolutely be the time for Dylan to impress the coaching staff and show the first team coaches exactly what he's been doing in the under-23s and to effectively, you know, transform that form he's been showing, where he's been so explosive. If he can put that in on the training pitches Hotspur Way, there is no way he can be ignored moving forward. There's two fixtures coming up I'd probably look at for Dylan's involvement. Obviously, we've got Wolves away in the Carabao Cup. Could he be in the squad for that? Maybe, hopefully. And then also we've got Stade Rennais away in the Europa Conference League. So there are two potential games this month that Dylan could be involved in, and that'd be really beneficial for his development, I'm sure, because he deserves the chance. He really does. At TravidMadProxy asks, who is our next youth player at the moment? In terms of a next youth player likely to come through, you'd have to say on current form it is Dylan Markandy, but we have loads of high quality prospects, the likes of Paskotski, Alfie Devine, Harvey White, Niall John, Dane Scarlett, and Jamie Donnelly. So the list is endless at the moment. We have so many great young players coming through, and I'm really excited to see them develop over the years coming ahead. At THFSkiBKA8 asks, why haven't we given Alfie Whiteman a new contract? People have seen the contract tweets I put out, and it has Alfie Whiteman down as the 30th of June 2022, which is like next summer. I imagine prior to heading out on this loan spell, Spurs already have something agreed with him, or they have an option in his contract to extend further, where they'll simply, you know, he'll come back and they'll just let him know they've extended the deal. They would not have permitted Alfie to go out on loan without first renewing his deal or having an option in place. As simple as that. I mean, Alfie really impressed in pre-season, and he would have maybe thought he wanted to hang around and be the third choice this year, but I understand. Brandon Austin has had two loan spells. Alfie's never had a loan spell. So it's really important to go out and build on that impressive preseason by getting some vital first team minutes under your belt. So that is why Alfie Whiteman has gone out on loan. And Brandon Austin has obviously come in back from his loan in the MLS to become third choice and take up a vital homegrown spot for us in the squad. At Nuno and Sons asks, realistically, how many youth players can you see making it under Nuno this season? Well, with the amount of first team departures over the summer transfer window, quite a lot, in all honesty. Nuno likes to work with a streamlined squad. That was known from his work at Wolves, and to supplement his squad with youth. So the Europa Conference League will obviously be an unprecedented opportunity. We've never been in this tournament before, to really blood our younger players, especially if we can get a couple of good early wins on the board and have some of the home fixtures towards the end of the tournament, you know, looking fairly safe that we're going to qualify. We could then effectively play entire academy and youth teams, and I'm sure no one would have an issue with that. So I think we're actually going to see quite a lot this season, especially with the streamlined squad and the Europa Conference League. At This Guy THFC asks, Of all the youth players you have seen, which one annoys you they didn't really get a chance? This is quite an easy one to answer for me. It'd probably be Marcus Edwards. You just feel that had he been thrown in the deep end, you know, at home to a lower level side in the Premier League with the home fans behind him, with the confidence behind him, that people weren't going to get on his back if he made a mistake. Had that experiment gone well, we could have seen a really confident Marcus Edwards, a really determined Marcus Edwards to do well, because the natural ability and skills were 100% there. So, you know, sometimes you just need to give these guys a chance and see what happens, basically. So I would have liked to have seen Marcus given a chance. Another player, just thinking on that question, it's probably Milos Veljkovic. He was the Serbian centre-half or defensive midfielder that left the club and joined Werder Bremen from memory. He just seemed really ready for senior men's football. He played really well in the Next Gen series, formed a good partnership with Nabil Bentaleb, Alex Pritchard in that side. And he seemed ready for men's football. He was a big strapping guy from Serbia. And he's gone on to be a full international for them. So in the end, I think he refused to sign a contract extension with Tottenham and he departed for around £500,000. At Tops 1881 asks, what's Devine's development looking like? Is Lavinia pushing for a place in the first team squad, or will he stay in the under-23s? And what's Mark Handy's preferred position? Okay, so Alfie's progress seems to have stalled a little this season, but maybe I'm reading too much into that because he's still only, you know, just turned 17 last month. And annoyingly, because of UEFA rules, he would have to be registered on the A-list to play in the European squads this season, having been at the club for under two full seasons. So I suppose objectively for his development, you know, I've got to say he's good for a 17-year-old. He's playing week in, week out for the under-23s. And that's obviously a step up from what he was playing in last year, which was the under-18s, with the occasional step up to the under-23s. So Alfie's development, you know, he's playing in 23s every week. And I think probably from next season, as I said earlier, he's ready for a championship loan. Moving on to the second half of that question, Marcel Lavinia. He'll continue playing for the 23s this season, battling for a place with the impressive and rapidly improving Callum Cisse. You know, right back, obviously the first team have signed Emerson Royale. We've got Matt Doherty there as well. And obviously Japhet Tanganga has been outstanding in the first three league games. So I don't see many first team opportunities coming the way of Marcel Lavinia. I think possibly he'll hang around with the first, with the under-23s, maybe occasionally training with the first team till around January time, and then he'll probably head out on a 6 months loan. Mark Handy's preferred position was as an attacking right-sided midfielder, but this season we've often seen him play as either a false nine or just as an out-and-out forward to devastating effect. So they're certainly working on different things for Mark Handy at the moment, with his added size, the fact that he kept his silky footwork, the fact that he's got this low centre of gravity. He's got a lot of attributes going for him at the moment, Dylan. So they're obviously trying him out in some different positions, and he seems to be smashing it wherever he's playing. At Stu_THFC asks, what is the situation of Elliot Thorpe? This is the million-dollar question, Stu. He still appears on the Spurs website, listed as an official player, but yet when Wales announced their under-21 squad, he was listed as unattached. I can only presume that he had intended to leave Spurs, but under his contract, he was not actually a free agent. And Spurs' threat of whoever he was going to move to, of, you know, reporting them or compensation, was so great that that move in effect fell through. And it's now sort of left the player in no man's land, and that isn't a situation that is good for anyone, especially a talented young player. The fact that he's still on the Spurs website, though, indicates to me that maybe he's now trying to win a deal back at Spurs. I mean, I've asked a few people about this, and people seem quite coy on releasing information around these situations. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but be sure to know as soon as I hear anything, it will be posted on at Lily White Rose. At SlobodanTHFC asks, what is the situation with Dermi Lisala? Dermi had a really bad injury at the end of last season and underwent surgery. That's likely to keep him out for a number of months. I believe he had a really bad knee injury. So yeah, that's effectively why we haven't seen Dermi. When he does come back, he's going to have a battle on his hands. But as I said, Marcel Lavinia is now playing a lot, and Callum Cisse seems to improve every single time I see him. So there's certainly competition for the right-back slot in the academy. So it'll be a long road to recovery, but I'm sure the club will give Dermi time, because it was only 2 years ago that he was obviously outstanding for a whole season and was named as the Guardian's one to watch for Tottenham. Now, that is a prestigious award to win. In previous years, we've seen the likes of Harvey White win that award, Alfie Devine, and Oliver Skipp. So, yeah, you know, he's rated very highly at Tottenham, is Dermi Lisala. That's it for this week's pod. Thanks again for listening. Please do retweet the pod, subscribe to the pod, and leave a review on iTunes. It really helps get the pod out to as many people as possible and means I can continue doing these throughout the season ahead. And let me know any youth-related questions you have, and I'll get them answered on next week's show. As always, guys, the future's bright. It's Lily White.